everyone, and welcome to Skyrim 10 AD, ASA Podcasting's D&D adventure in Skyrim. It has been 10 years since the defeat of Alduin the World Eater at the hands of the Dragonborn. But it is not his tale we are here to tell. Join us as new adventurers take up the challenge of conquering the Frozen North. And tonight, we'll introduce our players, our characters, in order of when I first remember them. So, first of all, that would be Botty.
Greetings, I am Andrew, playing the character Botty, the elf and obsessed with the Dragonborn. Never been to Skyrim before, but a bard at heart, wants to figure the stories and track them down and tell the true tale of the glory of the Dragonborn. Maybe to a fault sometimes, a little obsessed with the Dragonborn, and can wear thin on her companions at times with her excitement of playing the themes of the Dragonborn on her music as she trods the Skyrim countryside with her new companions. Just met her companion Luke over the border, and they ran into their cat friend, who has a very noble quest with which we are very pleased to help with.
Awesome. And next up from my old man memory would be Mouse.
Hello, everyone. This is Victor playing Septimus Vulpin, a.k.a. Mouse. Mouse is a 24-year-old roguish character who's Imperial-born but raised in Skyrim by his aunt, who was killed during a bandit raid when poor Mouse was about 14, and he was on his own in and out of orphanages and fending for himself. And he learned a lot about fending for himself and guiding around Skyrim, and decided to go out and become a guide for travelers. And that's how he met the group in Falkreath. And at this point in his life, Mouse is thinking that he would rather hear Ragnar the Red than just about any other song that he can think of. Other than that, he's been actually really enjoying his time with this group of fellow travelers, wandering and getting into adventures.
Amazing. And next we have the young Mr. Icewalker.
Greetings, everyone. This is Pat playing the character of Luke Icewalker, who is probably he's maybe 10 years or so, maybe 15. I forget if we've worked it out exactly. Older than Mouse, a bit older. He is a big, strapping Nordic middle-aged guy. The character image for him is the generic Nord, your very first Nord character when you start up Skyrim, although he's cleaned up a bit. He is a cleric of Kinnerath or Kine. He wears heavy plate armor or chain armor, but very heavy, heavy style chain armor. Carries a big war hammer, a shield with his holy symbol emblazoned on it. As Botty mentioned, Luke and Botty met up in Cyrodiil. Despite being a Nord, Luke actually, this is his first, he's only been in Skyrim for the first time. This is it. His family moved to Cyrodiil to escape some of the troubles prior to the events of the game Skyrim, and he is only recently, based on a message from his deity, is in Skyrim.
Awesome. And thank you, Luke. And last but not leastly, Mr. Jaquai.
Hey, Ray here with Jaquai Chang Kane. He is a 26-year-old Khajiit from the warm sands of elsewhere. He didn't know his parents, but was raised by his brother. But at an early age, his brother took him to the temple and left him there to be cultivated by the master there. When he was out on one of his long sessions of study, he got a message from the master. Somebody had inquired about his brother and had referred to him as Jarendar instead of just Zaren, and so was concerned that what his brother might have gotten mixed up with, or if he was in trouble because this person couldn't find him anywhere. And so he sent Jaquai to Skyrim in search of his brother. And he's been patient with the group. He got involved with the group and has helped out in some adventures that they've had some fun. But after the last adventure, he really pressed the group to go with him to Whiterun to try to make contact with the Khajiit caravan and see if he can't find somewhere with his brother.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Jaquai. And now I'd like to introduce our special guest. Distracted there for a second. I'd like to welcome and have introduced by our special guest, Adam, and I'd like to introduce Eris and Flair.
Yep. Hey, this is Adam. I'm playing Eris, a Dunmer Ranger, member of the Dawn Guard. Alongside my trusted companion, Tyriel. He's playing the character of Flair. And we ran into the party just outside of Whiterun as I was being chased by Dremora. They greatly helped me out, and I've been sticking with them since.
Awesome. Wow. Welcome everyone. Anyone and everyone. There we go. That works. And on the story up to now, our party had some rather rambunctious adventures in the Hold of Falkreath, fighting some some undead, some spiders, some bandits, an alchemist, and gaining the favor of the steward of Falkreath Hold, and the Jarl himself granted Jaquai the option to purchase land within Falkreath Hold. Seemingly in a bid to curry favor with maybe some of the friends that Jaquai could make in the future. A very heavy price tag, very steep price tag attached to it, but he's not deterred by that. They ventured on horseback to the Hold of Whiterun, and upon approaching the city, they came upon young Eris being attacked by a Dremora, and they hesitantly but eventually helped out and killed him, and now they headed straight to into the city, where Eris shared along the way that he was in search of a female Khajiit, one of the members of the Dawn Guard, which is the order he was a part of. Upon entering the gates, he seemingly found, but after getting into an altercation with the companions, supposedly stealing something that may have something to do with her scene. At this point, Eris gave up a what appears to be a Daedric artifact to, I've forgotten her name, to Mjoll the Lioness, the new harbinger of the companions. And but the young female Khajiit that Eris was looking for was taken away in irons and sent off to the to the prison. From there, our party went off to do a little check out on some information around the town, while Pat went in to Luke went into the Temple of Kinnereth to speak to Danica Purespring, the priestess there, and that's where we last left off. Last we left off is probably right now, probably about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. After walking up through the gates, going through that whole scene with Inuzera, she's been taken away. The companions have left the city, the town. All the merchants around the stalls seem to be getting back, and you guys went in, spoke to Ysolde. who she gave some advice to Jaquai on how to aid him in his search for his brother, and told him that probably in about a week or 10 days that the Khajiit caravan should be returning. There should be a week, but if they run into any trouble, it could be longer. And then after they finished there, without buying anything, they went into were heading off towards the Bannered Mare. At this time, Luke was in speaking to Danica Purespring, and he was aiding her in her priestly duties. They arrested a party, and Eris have finished up with Ysolde and have just left the shop, and are having a lookout along the city. They're probably standing just outside the shop, around of where the where that well is in the center of Whiterun, and you've got the stalls, you got Carlotta stalls, and they haven't really changed. Carlotta is there behind our fruit and vegetable stall, and you have Agamir with the meat stall, and you've got Freylia Greymane, and she's outside the front, and they're all settling down now. The guard that usually stands in between the apothecary and the shop is not currently there, and you don't see any guards walking up around the tree sort of area. Luke is currently still inside the Temple of Kinnereth, and is sort of like helping her out with her priestly duties, sort of like help healing, sort of like, you know, maybe doing some like cleaning and stuff like that. But it's not very, there's not a lot of people in there, and there's only so much you can do. You can't heal them into perfect condition. If they have a dull ache, they have a dull ache. So lady and gentlemen, what would you like to do?
Well, I don't know about anybody else, but I want to go grab an ale up in the Bannered Mare. Anybody coming with me?
Sounds good. I'm with you.
I'll join you.
I'm going to, at this point, tag along with the cat as much as possible to seek his... whatever he feels we have time for, I will progress with his... his agenda.
Excellent. I'd like to see who's running the bar and the Bannered Mare. I think Calda's probably finally retired by now.
So you all venture inside the Bannered Mare, and sort of like you all pine in, and as you come through the front door, Mouse, you're probably leading the way. Roll a perception check.
Just me?
Yeah, just you. Just as you come here.
Oh crap, I don't have my character sheet. That should be I think it's plus. It's 19.
So as you walk into the Bannered Mare, you see Hulda behind the counter, and you see Mikhail off to the side, just on the opposite side of the fire. He's sitting down. He's not standing up. He's sitting down, and he's got the loot, and it looks like he's restringing his loot. You don't see the usual Red Guard woman. But you do see that rather large, annoying Nord that seems to wander around and seems to be always in there, day drunk from morning to night, and just moaning again about the guards in the city, the White Run guards.
Mouse calls him Security Man.
Yes. So, like, at this point, he's moaning about the gate at the front that's just covering the moat, sort of like, you know, it's, he's telling them how it's old and shoddy and stuff, like, you know, they're not looking after it enough, and if they ever need to raise the drawbridge in an emergency, then they're all going to be screwed because they're never going to be able to get it up because it's not in a good state of repair. And let's see, you got a 19. So, yeah, so that's pretty much what you see. So it's just the four of them in there at the moment.
Okay.
I'd like to ask Mouse kind of over to a corner where we can speak privately without being overheard.
Absolutely. Do you mind if I just grab an ale first?
Oh, I thought we already had. Oh, you mean another one? Oh.
Yeah. Let's head over to that table to the right of the door there.
Right. And does it seem like we're kind of out of earshot of everybody?
Sinmir is he's talking at Mikhail. It's obvious that Mikhail there was at the probably about late 40s. Maybe close to 50s, Bard, who seems to be restringing his loot, is obviously not listening to a word he's saying, but Sinmir continues to talk at him about the state of things. And Hulda, you probably would know her as Hulda, maybe, is behind the counter, and she's just like leaning on elbows on the counter, leaning forward. Have you gone up and wanted to buy drinks and stuff, and now you've gone back to your table? So she's handed you, you've gone back.
And we've lost that tail that we had out through the city earlier? That one guard was following us?
Yes, he was one of the two guards, was the one that was following you up with the what appeared to be the bone shield. Excuse me. It was him and the guard that was in the main shopping district that was in that usually stands in between the shop and the apothecary. Both of those took Inuzera off, so those two were at the. So there's nobody else apart from you guys and the three people that I have named.
I want to ask Mouse if he knows any ways to get into the Dragon Reach prisons undetected.
I might.
At this point, I don't think it's very feasible to try to break Inuzera out of there because they will just know who did it.
Mm-hmm.
It will be completely obvious, but if I could get down there just to have a word with her and see if she has any message she would like for me to carry back to Fort Dawnguard, it would be a great help.
I think we can manage that. Should probably wait till it's fairly dark outside.
I agree.
I think I can get you in there.
Okay.
You will know that if... both of you would know this, since you're both residents of Skyrim, is that if you want to, you can visit a prisoner inside the prisons. If you wanted to go in and talk to him, you can, but you just have to get permission of one of the guards or somebody higher to be allowed in to visit said prisoner.
May I assume, sir, that you would prefer to get in quietly so that nobody is aware of our presence and therefore cannot listen into the conversation?
I'd rather not be overheard.
Well, then, let's try to find a more private route.
It's more fun that way, anyway.
Couldn't agree more. All right. Well, just let me know when you're ready. Meanwhile, I'm going to go have a chat with old Hulda. She must be 80 by now.
So you head up to the bar area to speak to Hulda. Oh, hello there. Everything fine? Did you need anything?
You still have any of that great Idar cheese?
We do. Just give me a second. She goes around to the back and pushes the goat cheese to one side and manages to find a nice 3/4 of a wheel of Idar cheese.
And a little Horker loaf if you got it, Hulda. I haven't had any in months.
Yeah, sure. And she has some on hand, sort of like, you know, just below the counter. Sort of like, you know, she has this sort of like weaved basket over the top, stops the flies and everything like that from getting to it.
It smells awesome.
So what brings you to Right Run today? You here for the competition, for the Sea Stone?
No, I'm accompanying these gentlemen. I've been guiding them across from Falkreath. Competition?
Yes, the Sea Stone competition. It's the White Run guards, the Home guards, apparently, versus the Windhelm guards. But
oh, yes, I heard something about that. No, I
can't believe that the Windhelm guards coming all the way here, not with all the trouble they're facing up there.
All those hooligans.
Oh, no, the burglaries and losing like hundreds and hundreds of gold's worth of, well, anyway, the apothecary has been stolen from, the shop's been stolen from. Really? I was talking to Usolda about it the other day, and just apparently they're having a major crime spree up there. Looks like maybe the Thieves Guild wasn't as dead as what we had originally thought.
You tell me more.
That's pretty much all I know. I know what information Hulda, Usolda told me. Which he heard from when the Kiji came through. I can't remember. I think her name was Yeffer or Yisha or something like that, and she was letting Usolda know that it's just just they had to watch their backs when they're out there. Usually they get well trusted, but it was like they were treating the Khajiit like they were in times of old, before the war, or during the war, and before the dragons and everything like that. Having to sort of like, you know, sign into the city and having their bags searched again. She said it was not an enjoyable experience. And then apparently there's getting bandit raids along the roads, going at no matter which way into Windhelm you go. Now they're getting robbed on the inside and getting raided on the way out. It's a wonder that the Windhelm guards are here at all.
Do you know when all this started?
I'm not too sure. You'd probably be better off speaking to Usolda, but and judging from the time it takes, probably about a month or two ago, maybe three, depending on when they last hooked up with the caravan that actually goes to Windhelm, because I don't think it's the same one.
Interesting news. Thank you. How much do I owe you?
Oh, what for all of that? Oh, 5 silver should cover everything.
There you go.
Oh, thank you.
Clinky, clinky.
I'm getting a little tired of this. I feel like it's time for me to retire soon.
Seems to me I've heard you say that before, Hulda. And yet, here you are. You love what you do, don't you?
She starts to get a little rosy-cheeked, and she goes, oh. It's not that I don't enjoy it. It's that, always something seems to be a little better, a little easier than what is. There's a little more exciting. And then when it gets too exciting, something seems a lot more pleasant when it's not. So.
I think you should stay. Everybody loves you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I don't remember your name, but I'll from now on. What was your name again?
You can call me Mouse.
Mouse. Well, welcome to the Baron Mare, and you'll always be welcome here again. And, if I haven't retired by the next time you come through town, pop in and say hello.
I will. I will. Thank you, man. I'm going to go sit in the corner and enjoy my dinner.
So, as you're turned away, sort of like, you know, you're chatting with Hulda, you do have a look to your left-hand side. Just behind, so behind you, you're looking at Hulda. She's at the counter, and the fire is behind you, and Mikhail is in his seat, sort of like at the head of the fire. And you do remember that table to your left. That you remember from the last time, a couple of times that you've been here, that it's sort of like curious about where it has the single tankard on it that that's filled, but nobody is sitting there. And then there's the handle of what appears to be a great sword, but only sort of like about an eighth of the blade left on it has been stabbed into the top of the table.
I'm going to saunter over there and sit down.
Which side of the table?
The left, as I'm sauntering, it would be the left side, so facing the wall.
Facing the wall. Okay. So you saunter over.
I can look to my right and see the bar, and
yeah,
my shoulder and see the fire.
So you there, you sit there on the opposite, and just in front of you, there's you see the wall there, and you see that there's a very light, what seems to be a light splash of blood, very very faded. It appears that maybe somebody got caught on the jaw, maybe caught on the nose, right in front of that wall, and sort of like a bit of blood that didn't get cleaned up straight away is sort of like stained. And the table in front of you is sort of like, you know, long. And right on the opposite side of the table, just in front of the what would be a bench on the opposite side that's attached to the wall. And just in front of it is a big tankard of mead that is filled to the top. And right next to the tankard is the handle of a great sword, but the blade is broken and jammed into the table.
Well, I look over my shoulder and not too loud a voice, I say, Mikhail, what happened over here?
Oh, he sort of like looks out of the string and he goes, oh, are you sharing a drink with poor old Uthgard? Did you know her?
I didn't know her. I've seen her here, but I see she's not here right now. Is that her sword? Or was that her sword?
That was. I'm not too sure where she is now. Not too sure what happened to her, but the dragonborn thing came through here what, a few years ago. Didn't know he had entered town. Apparently, he had appeared, him and the War Maiden of Whiterun. And when they arrived, they just appeared in Dragon's Reach and came here. And they bought drinks and wouldn't stop drinking. And then the War Maiden planted the sword in and filled that mead and said that nobody was allowed to sit there on that side of the table forevermore. And the Dragonborn Thane plopped down a purse of gold so large that I don't think I could have lifted it, and said, "That's for keeping that mug filled with mead every day until the purse runs out." Doesn't look like it's going to run out anytime soon. But we have people come around and like to sit opposite and share a mead, and share the stories of Uthgard the Unbroken. She was a truly great Nord, and one of the fiercest warriors and fiercest women you will ever have met.
Well, they do say you don't really know a Nord woman until you've had a strong drink and a fist fight with her.
And she would have loved to have a fist fight right now.
I'll bet. I'm a little confused, though. What happened to her?
I'm not too sure. They didn't talk. They just drank. They didn't tell us the story.
They brought her broken sword, and that was it, huh?
Yeah. When they first met, it was a sight to see. She was, as I said, not afraid of anything, and brave, and fond of the drink as well. And she liked a bit of a fist fight. And when she claimed that she was the strongest warrior in all of Whiterun and that nobody could plant her on her ass, the Dragonborn Thane disagreed quite vehemently. She was but an inch from him and about to plant her meaty fist into his chops when it ended up in the gauntlet of the War Maiden. Simply saying, he goes, "Are you too drunk to see? Your opponent is me." I nearly spat up my mead at the sound of that. It was a truly magnificent fight. Experience and veracity versus youth and strength. It even spilled out onto the streets. For a good 15 minutes.
Wow.
That's when the opportunists decided to take their opportunity. Three fingers of the Black Hand came out of nowhere, and two arrows straight into the Dragonborn Thane. And you could literally see the poison pumping through him. Green veins popping up the side of his neck, all through his eyes, blood coming out of his nose. I tell you, if the apothecary wasn't just there, and Uthgard, the gate, and the guard, and the War Maid of Whiterun wasn't right next to him, I'm pretty sure he would have bought it. Excuse me. I'm pretty sure he would have bought it right there and then. It's definitely one of the scariest things I've ever seen. Two of them got away, but the Uthgard managed to bring the other one down. And after that, they were friends, warriors in comrades in arms. She saved his life. And I think that's why they took it so hard and why they've left this legacy here that her cup shall never be empty.
That's a beautiful tale.
Yes, it's just a shame about the ending. Well, if you're not a Nord, it sounds like a great story if you're Nord. I just wanted to know exactly what happened.
No, it's just going to go back to thoughtful sipping at its mead.
Okay, so what does Botti and Eris and Jaquai, did you guys join? Sorry, did you join Mouse, or were you still over at the table at the nearest the wall?
Yeah, I think they pulled aside on purpose, so we kind of hung back. At least, yeah, that was my thought.
And I went back and I'm just sitting at the bar.
So you take your drink of mead, and Holder comes over and sees you sharing the drink at the table, and she gets the tankard and pours it out into the slops barrel, and uncorks a new bottle of mead and pours it into the tankard at the table and sort of like puts it back. Sort of like gives you a nod and heads back around the opposite side of the table. So, what would you guys like to do? Are you just going to wait your time out here until the evening comes? Or is there anything you'd like to accomplish? Are you going to all sit apart or sit with each other and talk? Or
I feel like Body is asking Jaquai more about his brother. Stories of when they were kittens and such.
Well, I only knew my brother as my caretaker for a short time before he put me in the monastery. But he was, even at my early age, he was teaching me, he was preparing me to enter the monastery and, you know, become a monk. And so my memory of my brother is fleeting, but very, very, very fond. So I'm feeling a little antsy. I need somewhere that I can work out and do some practicing. I need to walk around the town and see if there's some place that I can find to work on my form.
Sort of like a holder, sort of like, you know, sitting up there, and she goes, well, the only place like that around here is probably up at Yorvaska. They've got some training grounds, but it's been currently taken over by the Seedstone tournament. They've got the do you call it, the pitch laid out. So they're probably going to be starting in about a half an hour if you wanted to catch it.
What time is it?
You're probably looking around, what, half four maybe? You haven't been in there that long.
Eris, I'm going to take a nap. Come get me at midnight.
Will do.
Holda, can I have the bed upstairs?
She goes, I'm terribly sorry, but all the upstairs has been taken up by the Windhelm guards, I'm afraid. you can take the side rooms that are just on the opposite side, just next door to the whatchamacallit, the staff rooms. But they're not as fancy, but they'll be a lot quieter than the rooms just below upstairs.
A pile of hay would be fine right now.
Okay, so she takes your sort of like, you know, your silver, and you head off to go and get a room. No, sorry, it's about a gold to take your room and sort of like head off for some
one,
sleep.
One gold? Okay. Just updating here. Alright. Yeah, I've got no interest in the games. And Mouse wanders off to sleep.
Mm-hmm. So, Botti, Eris, and Jaquai, at this moment in time, would you like to stay in and around the inn past time, or did you want to head out and then search to see if you could find some area where you could do some training?
Yeah, I'm going to walk around the city.
Okay. I'll tail with him.
And I'm going to just stay put.
Okay. So, Eris, you're going to stay in the inn. As Botti and Jaquai head out, you see Sinmir slowly sort of like, you know, making his way towards you, Eris, and sort of like, you know, you just fresh in this morning? What was that mess at the gate? Huh? Did you see that mess at the gate as you were coming in?
What mess?
The mess four guards at the front of the gate. Why did they need four guards at the front of the gate? That's going to leave holes in the rest of the city. There's got a sporting event going on, and like you're going to have thieves galore just everywhere, running rampant around the city, and they've got guards down there just looking at people coming in and not watching them when they're inside, when they could be doing some real harm. And he goes, it's a complete travesty, the guard around here. It wouldn't have been like this if Ulfric had to take over those years. Excuse
me. On second thought, I think I'm going to go with my friend.
Oh, well, nice chatting with you there, Elf.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. All right. So you all sort of like head out of the inn and sort of like, you know, walk out. So as you come out of the inn, Luke, how are you doing? You're currently inside, and it seems to be dying down. People seem to be heading home. Doesn't seem to be anybody other than you and Danica inside the temple at the moment. What would you like to
do? Luke is just so happy for a few moments to be sort of back in his element. This is what he's spent the last 10 years of his life doing is tending to people and working in a more ruler monastery sort of environment than this, but he's really enjoying himself, and that really the time has flown for him, and he looks around and realizes oh everyone's gone, and I go over to Danica. So do you have any patients who'll be here overnight that require care?
No, it's not anything serious. There's not unless we get a sudden, like, you know, Russia coming in, sort of like, you know, somebody was attacked on the road, or somebody's, you know, had a work accident, sort of like a training accident. They are having the games on at the moment, so, you know, somebody can take one of those slings to the face. That's going to take some healing right there, and somebody could lose an eye with one of those things.
So Luke looks around. Is there no work to be done here? I find it's been weeks since I've been able to put my hands, and he holds his hands up and his great big Nordic paws, and put my hands to work for Kine. Is there anything that I can do for you, for yourself, or for the temple?
Well, if If you didn't mind, I wouldn't mind hearing more of the reasons why you're in Skyrim. It always fills me with joy. I listening to Holden and speak of his relationship. He was pretty tight-lipped about some things, but he shared quite a lot of, like, you know, his of how he views Kinnereth and how she feels like a true friend to him. And it was very comforting of seeing how he was quite a bit older than both of us, but it seemed that he talked the joys of having like a really long time friend, like a good friendship that lasted some many years. And it was just a joy to listen to him talk about his relationship with her and the sort of like the feelings. I was just wondering if you fancied sharing yours. You seem to have a really deep connection with her, especially for her to talk to you directly, to ask and to send you here to give aid to, well, your people.
Yeah, well, it's. If I may be frank, it was a puzzlement to myself. I was certainly had never been blessed to hear the voice of Our Lady so directly. But a few weeks ago, I received a vision that said, "Go to Skyrim and find a guide." And well, I had spent a decade at the monastery. There was some troubles in my youth that led me to seek solace and companionship of kine and of the people of the monastery, and for those that I expected to die there, as I had been there for 10 years, but suddenly I was directed otherwise, and my master at the monastery, Luke sort of gestures to his armor, you know, gave me this armor and helped me fix up this shield and sent me on my way. I'd made the acquaintance, you know, some weeks before, some months before, of a Bosmer bard who came with me. She's over at the inn, no doubt, taking every opportunity to learn tales of the Dragonborn. And as we came across the border, we encountered a Khajiit who seemed like he needed a little help. We brought him along, and then finally, once we got to Falkreath, we encountered a young man who I must say reminds me a bit of myself, not in any physical way, but in the sense that I'm not sure he's quite found himself yet. I think he was our guide. So in any case, we found ourselves in some very strange adventures, but I ultimately we encountered a Daedric spirit that
oh my,
seemed to wish ill upon us in particular, and upon perhaps all of Skyrim. We helped the Jarl of Falkreath and his court with rooting out the source of some tainted skooma, and at saying the word skooma, Luke's face contorts, and he all but physically convulses at even having to say the word. And we're able to help a couple of people young people who had gotten mixed up with that. And well, And Luke just sort of loses himself. It's all, frankly, a bit more than I can take in. But
And what if this Daedra? Do you know who it served? Which prince it?
And an out of character moment here, Luke is I had to go check my notes. So it claimed to serve Mafala. It was a strange little spider spirit that that seemed to be encouraging an alchemist that we encountered, and we were able to defeat the alchemist and destroy his laboratory. The spirit claimed to be seemed to represent Mephala and cackled evilly and then disappeared. So I don't know that Skyrim has seen the last of this scourge, but for now we have no more traces.
Yeah, very much doubted they love toying with it. And if you're going to spend some time here, try not to mention Mephala's name. I don't know whether you know him, the Jarl, Balgruuf the Greater. It seems there was he lost his son, and it appeared Mephala was somehow involved in that. And it's a very, very touchy subject, and people quite say it. I'm not saying that you're going to go around shouting it from the rooftops, but I just thought I'd better make you aware that if you're in his company or in the company of any of his family, maybe it's you not bring that that particular prince up.
Was the Jarl's son in some way harmed by Skooma, or was this some other plot of Mephala?
I don't think Skooma was involved at all, but he did lose his son. He was always a quite odd, child. There was a few rumors about the youngster, but as he got older, he appeared to he never came outside of the keep, unlike his two siblings. I'm not too sure of the details. Just the rumors spread, and the rumor says when he died, and Mephala was the Daedric prince that was always attached to the rumor.
And that's terrible. That's terrible that anyone should fall to the plottings of such a creature. But in any case, we continued our journey here. The Khajiit traveler, a very sage monk with a tremendous martial skill. He's searching for his brother who has been lost with the caravans. So that's what has brought us specifically here to Whiterun. We knew nothing of these games. It seems like the games have brought people from all over to the city.
Yes, there's we got quite a few travelers in at the moment. But it's not like an actual competition. It's like a friendly rivalry, especially after the war, the siege of Whiterun, of the Stormcloaks against when they came to Whiterun to try and take the city. It's trying to put bad blood behind us, but I don't think it's going to work. The Windhelm guards, I've heard, that are not speaking and not socializing with anybody from the city, and don't take kindly to the Windhelm team. Sorry, the Whiterun team. So,
where is the Windhelm team staying?
They're over in the Bannered Mare, from what I've heard. They were offered to stay in the barracks, the guard barracks at Dragon's Reach, but they paid for their own room and board over at the Bannered Mare.
If I may, my family fled the troubles of some over 30 years ago the early rumblings of the Stormcloak Rebellion. My father was accused of being mixed up in the rebellion, although he had no part of it. At least to my knowledge, he had no part of it, and he fled for his life and from my mother's life and his. So the Stormcloaks, we haven't heard that. It seemed more of a local matter. We don't hear too much of the Stormcloaks over in Cyrodiil these days. Are they still active, or have they been crushed by the Empire?
It depends on who you ask. If you ask the Greymanes, they're you're probably better not asking the Greymanes. They'll more than likely think you're an Imperial spy trying to find their sons. Both of their sons were actually joined the Stormcloaks. One of them, I believe, got captured. I can't remember his name, but he broke free, apparently. A young Dunmo woman who was a bit of a sellsword in the area. Apparently they became quite friends, and apparently she managed to get him out, and I believe it was last year when they were married. I wasn't invited, but it was quite surprising. The Greymanes are a very old Nord family, very traditional, and having a Dunmer bride just didn't seem to suit the family, but it was it's nice. She's a very, very beautiful woman. Very dangerous woman as well. I wouldn't get too close. Her husband is probably just as dangerous as she is as well. So
at this point, Luke just shakes these entanglements of the cities. I sometimes miss my ancestral homeland of Skyrim. Other times I feel my parents were so smart to leave here so many years ago. I've led a simple life these past 30 years, and I've had more entanglements these past 4 to 5 weeks than I ever have before. But thank you. Thank you for telling me all this. And may I come back tomorrow to help tend to any sick, or, well, maybe mead sickness, if nothing else, that may come in and darken your door tomorrow morning.
Please, you are welcome to stay here as long as you like and ask of me. If I can provide it, I will. It's a joy to talk to you. So, sort of like hearing about your travels and things like that.
Do you have an initiate's? Is there a pallet in the back where your initiates sleep that I might be able to bed down for this evening?
You can, definitely, yes. There's definitely a place for you just at the back. You can. It's actually the place where Gentleman Holden spent his evenings while he was here. So if you find anything in there, pass it on to me and I'll keep it there if it's anything of his. But other than that, the room is yours.
Oh, thank you so much. I will take advantage of that. And again, thank you for letting me stay and for letting you help around the temple. And Luke looks out of windows, looks at the hour and says, "Ah, my friends are probably into their third or fourth mead by now. I should go make sure they don't get into too much trouble." Huh? And he takes his leave.
Good eve.
So it's so at this point, I will go. I'll go leave here, and I guess this just remembering the Bannered Mare. Is that the closest? Is that the closest of the inns to the temple? I think it is, right?
It is, but as you're leaving, you're coming back, and you are sort of like, you know, you walk past the big central tree. It's got the benches around it. You head up to go back down the steps, to head towards the Bannered Mare, which is the big inn right nearest the central well. And as you reach the top of the stairs, as you look down, excuse me, you see Botty and Jaquai and your new friend Eris exiting the inn, coming out onto the main street.
And I count noses and I run up. Has Mouse gotten himself arrested? Is he in trouble?
He's just taking a nap.
Oh, a nap in the middle of the afternoon? He never ceases to puzzle me.
Well, he did eat a large meal and have a couple of meads.
Ah, oh. Yeah, he is a small man. Maybe only a couple of meads is all he can handle. So, are you crawling over to the next pub?
Body and Jaquai, you guys were going to go do some training or something? Is that right?
Yeah, we're wandering around the streets of Whiterun.
Okay, so which direction do you guys take?
That weird upside down boat looks very strange.
Yeah, that's where all the crowds are. We headed back towards the main gate. I thought I saw some space behind the Smith's building that I might be able to make use of.
I will tag along.
Sorry about that. You guys all cut out again. So, you're heading down towards the front gate to nearest the Smiths, yeah?
Right.
Yes, you start heading down towards the Smiths. As you come out, you you see Luke coming down the stairs and head down the stairs and ask you where Mouse is. And you're looking towards the shop on the main gate. And as you're walking past, you see that you got the shop on the left-hand side of your shoulder of where she was. You walk down a bit, and then you look to your right, and you see the Drunken Huntsman is on your right-hand side. And it seems like a nice big open place. You're not quite sure. It seems to be some sort of inn. We are not 100% sure. Eris, you would probably know that it's like a place where you can get food and also supplies, mostly hunting supplies, bows, arrows, and traps, things like that to aid you in hunting game and things like that. It's a really nice, interesting building. And then you walk down a little bit further, and then on your left-hand side, is the Smiths, the blacksmithy. And as you approach it, you see the two women that you've seen earlier are one of them is working on what seems to be the sharpening stone, and while the other one is leaning against the pillar post of the overhang of the shop, and they're busy talking with each other. The older woman of the two turns around to the younger one, and it's the younger one who's now working on the sharpening stone. And the older one says to the younger female, she goes, "So, do you think they're going to show up anytime soon? You did say that they should have been here last week. Do you know when they're going to show up? I'd like to prepare. I got some food in last week, but it seems to be going to waste now." And the other one, the younger one, she goes, "He sent me a letter saying that they were thinking about coming this way, but they didn't know when. But they were supposed to show up, but plans change. I'm not too sure exactly what's going on, but I've asked them to come up and help me. But I don't know. I think they're just going to show up whenever they want. Men are all the same." So, as you guys come up there, I think we'll end the episode there. Thank you for listening to episode 33 of Skyrim 10 AD. I think that was an episode, maybe, possibly. We kind of had like Uber issues. the incessant coughing. If you guys wish to contact us, you can contact us at skyrim10ad@gmail.com to complain about the quality of this particular episode, or to say how awesome it was, all the role play with all our players, Pat and Andrew and Ray and Victor and Adam. Thank you all for joining me.
Absolutely.
And sticking out with all the mess that has been Sunday evening.
A pleasure, as always.
Thanks, everyone. It's fun to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Skyrim 10AD would like to thank Tabletop Audio for the use of their music in this podcast. If you would like to find more music like this, just go to tabletopaudio.com for more information. Thank you.
Thank you for downloading this edition of Skyrim 10AD. Email the show at skyrim10ad@gmail.com. For more information, please visit asapodcasting.com, where you will find a Skyrim Attic podcast, the Fallout feed, and our Amazon link, which benefits the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. Find our social media in the show notes. Thanks for listening.